QCon New York is coming up pretty soon, and TechTarget and the server side has been doing a fair bit of coverage of that conference. One of the speakers that I noticed was there was Gil Tenne. Gil Tenne is with Azul Systems, and whenever we've got questions about how to scale applications to the nth degree, it's always Azul that we go to. I noticed that the topic that Gil was talking about was hardware transactional memory, some of the new features that are available on what I guess you could consider some commodity hardware type Intel chips. So one of the things I wanted to ask Gil was, why exactly is hardware transactional memory such a hot topic at these conferences these days?
The interesting thing, and I think sort of exciting for developers, is hardware transactional memory is a new hardware feature that's now available and now part of the normal commodity Intel server chips. And it has the potential, at least, to improve performance and execution of multi-threaded code in general without people needing to do much about it. It's more up to the runtimes and the libraries to leverage it and make use of it. So it's not limited to transactional systems, and it's not not so much about the hardware performing, you know, software level transactions. It's about the hardware having execution features that actually allow more concurrent execution of existing code potentially.
Now, my understanding is that this isn't a completely new feature and that some other architectures have actually had this built in already. So why is it getting so much play today?
So this is a hardware feature that's been kind of in the works for probably about 15 or so years. And has seen a lot of day in some, you know, I'd say more exotic or corner systems before, but the really cool part is that now regular x86, as of the latest chipsets that came out in March or in April, those are now, you know, basically if you buy a new x86 server today, it has this feature. And what it actually provides is the hardware is able to perform a speculative execution, software-directed speculative execution, where the software says, I think I will be able to complete this set of things atomically with relation to the rest of the world, and hardware can run it, and basically if it reaches a commit point, then it commits it, and if it fails to reach that, it can abort and basically roll back the state to the beginning of the point where the execution started. This, when you map it to things like locked regions, could be used to have code that is normal, that grabs a lock and serializes execution through that lock, actually run concurrently on multiple CPUs without serializing on the lock. In some cases, in the cases where there are no data conflicts or other reasons why serialization has to happen. And that's a pretty exciting thing when you have a lot of cores.
So at your session at QCon, is your discussion specifically about how Azul takes advantage of some of these features, or are you talking just more generally about some of the benefits that this technology can provide for the enterprise community as a whole?
So Azul definitely leverages this feature, but we're not the only ones. And the talk I'm doing is not specific to Azul in any way. It's more about, this is what hardware transactional memory is, this is how it works, this is what we think people are going to do with it, this is what you might want to consider, this is how it could affect the way you program. I'll put it that way, right? The interesting thing is, I think we're going to learn fairly quickly in the next couple of years what it's good for and what it's not that good for. And the reason I'm saying we're going to learn is because while there is experience on other systems, Azul hardware has had hardware transactional memory since about 10 years ago. But we don't make hardware anymore. We run on Intel chips, and we've been waiting for this feature to appear there. So we have some experience in what it can do and what it's good for. But the reality is servers with lots of cores and this feature in a wide commodity market just haven't existed until now. And now it's the norm. Now every server will have it. And the experiences that are gained in the next months and couple of years are going to let us know what it's actually good for. The example of what it is good for, we know, is if you have code that uses normal synchronized blocks in Java, for example, or normal mutexes or semaphores in C, C++ using POSIX library, and either the Java runtime, which both Xing, Azul's JVM, and Hotspot Oracles will leverage this feature, or even the POSIX library itself. So for example, if you use regular POSIX locking in Linux, then either coming or future versions of the library will be able to leverage the hardware transparently and try and grab the lock transparently for you in a transactional way. That means that software that is normally written the way it's already written might benefit from it with no change whatsoever. I say might because how much you benefit depends not just on whether or not you use regular locking, but also on what data contention actually occurs under your lock. So in situations where the lock was there to really protect contended data, for example, if you're locking, updating a counter and letting go of a lock, this will not make things go more current because there's actual contention on data. But in other cases where you use fairly fat locks, for example, a lock that protects an entire dictionary or entire hash table or lookup table, where there's a lot of data and the actual access into it might not contend or doesn't contend in most cases, then the cases that don't contend will get to run concurrently, and the cases that do contend on data will then serialize. And it's those places where fairly coarse locking has been used on data that is large enough that has, you know, non-contended data access between multiple threads in it, that we see the benefit as coming transparently. We've seen this in prior applications. We expect to see it going forward. But it does add an interesting twist to if you're locking, the lock was the contention point. You know, you set a lock, you knew that if multiple things wanted to lock, it'll go one at a time. Now the lock can run concurrently, but the access to the data depends. If you're accessing the exact same data, it'll go one at a time. If you're accessing different parts of a larger data structure, they might go concurrently. So the considerations and how people might see performance come out of our code is going to change. And that makes it exciting and interesting because what it's going to change to exactly is something that experience will show in the next couple of years.
Now, I know your session at QCon isn't Azul specific, but what is Azul doing these days to make enterprise programming great again?
Azul is focused on Java virtual machines. It's all that we do. We make both very high performant and what we consider to be the best JVM platforms on the planet. If you run on our Xing JVM, metrics are better. We run faster, we run more consistently, our transactions don't pause, things run better. And we also provide very wide, a JVM platform called Zulu that provides very wide open source based access. It's basically an OpenJDK build that's reliable, certified, tested, trusted. We provide it both for free for download on the web and with enterprise support and support for embedded customers. But it's all Java. For us, it's kind of regular, what I call vanilla Java, or if you want Java to behave better, we have the flagship Xing product that just kicks ass. What we're seeing that's, I think, interesting in the last year or two is beyond people just using us directly in applications where they care about the performance or behavior or consistency, there is so much infrastructure these days, so much common infrastructure that is based on Java that wasn't around before. For example, if you say big data today, you are running on a Java platform. Even if you don't write anything in Java and don't even touch Java, Hadoop is Java, Cassandra is Java, Spark is Java, Kafka is Java, Elastic is Java. So whatever you're doing is actually executing on a Java platform, And it turns out that that allows us with our Zen product to just power all those systems and improve their responsiveness and consistency and pauselessness without anybody having to program anything or change anything in what they do, because it's Cassandra that gets better, it's Spark that gets better, it's Kafka that gets better, it's ZooKeeper that gets better. And they just get better. You don't have to change anything in what you do. So to us, that's exciting because we get this interesting intermediation or leverage where without the actual developers needing to even be aware, the metrics get better. And that's a great thing.